Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. We're so glad that you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through the July issue of the Ensign magazine. I should say more specifically, we're going through an article in the July 2012 issue of Ensign, an article titled Understanding Our Covenants with God, an Overview of Our Most Important Promises. And we are recapping today some of what we've gone over. And yesterday we talked about repentance, and we've talked about repentance many times on this show because it is a very important topic. You get that wrong, your eternity is in the balance on this thing. The Mormon needs to repent of all their sins, and they must keep all the commandments. Now, you have a tract there that has been in print for many years, Repentance Brings Forgiveness. It's written by Spencer W. Kimball. It's not numbered, so it's kind of difficult to say exactly where it is, other than they can find the particular quote you're going to highlight in the center, near the staples, to the right of the staples, right. I should say, to the bottom staple. And what does it say?
Well, and I want to point out that he gave this address on May 4th, 1954, but this was printed by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so it's an official tract.
It actually has the newer logo on it, so yeah. You would have to assume that they are still standing behind it. In fact, I was just in the distribution center the other day and bought one of those.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I just remembered. I just bought another copy of it.
Yeah, well, it says here in the center section, as you mentioned, number two, abandonment of sin, the things that you have to do. And he just says, the forsaking of sin must be a permanent one. True repentance does not permit making the same mistake again. He has just quoted D&C 5843. Where it says a person will forsake them if he's really repenting. We were talking about this yesterday, and I just think that's a good little quote to bring out again, that if you're going to actually do the repentance, because this is what was brought out to me on the street. Well, I repent. Okay, have you forsaken the sin? And he said, no. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then you haven't truly repented.
To tie it in with what we talked about yesterday, on page 23 of this article, it says, in return, Heavenly Father promises that if we repent of our sins, we can be forgiven. Well, if that's the definition, and we read other definitions yesterday, then we must ask the Latter-day Saint if they are meeting that requirement. If they are not meeting the requirement, they are not keeping their covenant, and they are not qualified for eternal life. It's as simple as that. But yet, oftentimes when we're talking to our LDS friends, they'll freely admit they're not living up to it, and yet somehow they seem to think that their God is going to look the other way when it comes to their own personal shortcomings and sins, transgressions, call them what you will, it's still their shortcomings. And so today we're going to be looking at another covenant that they make, and that is the sacrament.
This is what it says. It says, those who have received the saving ordinances of baptism and confirmation partake of the sacrament each week to renew those covenants. While partaking of the bread and water, we remember the sacrifice the Savior made for us. In addition, we ponder the covenants we have made to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ, always remember him, and keep his commandments. In turn, God extends the promise that his Spirit may be with us always. And then it goes on to the very end of the article, of the section of this article, and it says, church leaders have also taught that when we take the sacrament, we renew not only our baptismal covenants, but all covenants entered into with the Lord.
All of them, including when they go to the temple. But as we mentioned in another broadcast, in their baptismal covenant, once again, it was mentioned that they must partake or keep all of the commandments. Now, when they partake of the sacrament, there's a prayer that is taken from Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 77, that is offered, and it says this, O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments. Notice that? And keep his commandments, which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with him. So very much along in line, what this article is saying is the prayer that they are supposed to offer. Now, Mormon apostle Russell M. Nelson was speaking in General Conference back in April of 1999, and this is what he said. He explained this. He said, at baptism, we covenant to serve the Lord and keep his commandments. When we partake of the sacrament, we renew those covenants. Again, the keeping of commandments is absolutely essential. So when I have Mormons write me saying, well, we don't believe we're saved by works, well, to us, that's exactly what you're doing, because keeping commandments is a work. Mm-hmm. It is a work. Now, we're not saying that there shouldn't be good works after a person professes faith in the Jesus of the Bible, but that is not what justifies them. That is not what saves them. That's the byproduct, if you will, of being saved. This is the difference. But yet, Eric, when you ask Mormons, are they being successful at keeping that promise, that covenant they made in the sacrament service, and obeying God's commandments, I've often had some say, well, it merely means to be willing to keep them. Have you ever heard something like that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, as long as I'm willing to keep them and trying to keep them is sufficient. But that's not what Mormon leaders have said, and it's the Mormon leaders where they are supposed to be getting their instructions. In April of 1998, this is a conference message, Henry B. Eyring, in an article titled, That We May Be One. Henry B. Eyring is now a member of the First Presidency. He wasn't back then, but in this talk, he reminded listeners, and I'm quoting, he says, we promise as we take the sacrament to keep his commandments, all of them, not some of them, all of them. So that's what you're promising. If you're a Latter-day Saint listening to this, and maybe you weren't aware of that, maybe when you were making these covenants, you thought, well, I'll just promise to keep some of them. Henry Eyring says, if that's what you're doing, you have a false notion of the importance of this promise, this covenant. You're missing the intent of it. You are actually supposed to be promising to keep all of them. He said, when we partake of this, now here he's quoting J. Reuben Clark, who was a former member of the LDS First Presidency. Eyring said, when we partake of the sacrament, we covenant to obey and keep the commandments. There are no exceptions. There are no distinctions, no differences. He went on to note that Clark also taught, quoting, just as we repent of all sin, not just a single sin, we pledge to keep all the commandments. Now, if you want to look this up, it's the Ensign Magazine, May 1998, pages 67 through 68.
Spencer Kimball would have agreed exactly with what he's saying there. He says in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, Spencer Kimball writes, covenant breakers, akin to many of the other sins, is that of covenant breaker. The person baptized promises to keep all the laws and commandments of God. All. He has partaken of the sacrament and repledged his allegiance and his fidelity, promising and covenanting that he will keep all God's laws.
Sounds pretty clear.
Yeah. Numerous folks have gone to the temples and have recovenanted that they would live all the commandments of God, keep their lives clean, devoted, worthy, and serviceable. Yet many there are who forget their covenants and break the commandments, sometimes deliberately tempting the faithful away with them. It's not some of them, as we've been stressing these past 3 days, it's all of them.
He goes on that same page, though, doesn't he? Describe covenant breakers as wicked people.
Yeah. Here's what he says. Let me finish this. Of those who break covenants and promises made in sacred places and in solemn manner, we can apply the Lord's words as follows. And he quotes from D&C 3, 12 through 13. A wicked man who has set at naught the counsels of God and has broken the most sacred promises which were made before God and has depended upon his own judgment and boasted in his own wisdom.
That sounds pretty serious. Yeah. Especially when you look at what 13th President Ezra Taft Benson had to say on this subject. This is found in the teachings of Ezra Taft Benson, page 442, and it kind of says really what we've been talking about throughout this entire broadcast. He says, when we go to our chapels each week to worship the Lord and renew our covenants by partaking of the sacrament, we thereby promise to take his name upon us, to always remember him, and keep all his commandments. Our agreement to keep all the commandments is our covenant with God. Now, folks, are you listening to this? Are you listening to this? Our agreement to keep all the commandments is our covenant with God.
That's your end of the bargain.
Exactly. And then he finishes it by saying, only as we do this may we deserve his blessings and merit his mercy.
There are the fingernails on the chalkboard for you, Bill.
Fingernails on the chalkboards. I mean, merit his mercy. You can't merit mercy.
No. Nope.
You cannot merit mercy. For this man to claim to be a prophet of God and he misses that? Something so simple as that, he misses this. But if you have any question whatsoever as to how many commandments a Latter-day Saint is supposed to keep in this covenant he makes, clearly the answer is he is supposed to keep all of them. So you wonder why when I say, or when Eric says, or when any other Christian says that we've never met a Mormon who is doing that. This is why. Nobody is doing that.
But the church is making them go in each week, and at their sacrament, they're having to repeat that. They're going to make a promise that they know full well they're not going to be able to keep. I feel so sad for the people who have to do that, going in with the guilt that they must have.
Well, you and I have talked to many of them that walk with this guilt, and they know they're not living up to this, and they do bear this huge burden. See, that's why we cannot see this as really being the gospel. Whether Mormons call it the restored gospel or not, I don't really care. This is not good news. It's not good news. To be compelled to make such promises that they are never going to keep must have a horrible negative effect on many Latter-day Saints who take their faith seriously. And I'll admit, there's probably a lot of Mormons who don't take it all that seriously. But many there are who do, and we hope that they will see through this and see that this is really not the New Testament gospel.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.